So Paul has been arrested. He's now had his fifth trial through King Agrippa. And last week we saw that this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. He appealed to Caesar, and that's what's happening now. He's off to Rome. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramyttium, if that's how you pronounce that, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia. And we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed in Sidon. You can look at the map every now and again to see how the journey goes. So it says from there the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed in Myra in Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salome. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lycia. Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw an opportunity. They weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force, called the Northeaster, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Coda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun or stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" I don't know if you've ever been on one. I think my whole life I've only had one all-inclusive holidays where you go and everything is laid on. You can eat, drink, and be merry 24/7. And it just sounds like such good fun. Half bored is maybe you'll get your breakfast and your dinner, but you have to fend for yourself maybe at lunchtime. And people's attitudes, they were saying, well, an all-inclusive holiday has to be the best, like 5-star. Everything is laid on. You want the pool to be right, the rooms to be right, the food to be right, the ambience, everything. They want to be well. So if you've booked an all-inclusive holiday and things aren't 100% right, well, your bubble is really burst. And the one that I saw, this was about a family who were there. They got there, they were expecting everything to be perfect, and there was a building site next door, drilling away, banging, cranes moving, and so forth. As they're lying on their lounger, having eaten their breakfast and moved 20 feet to their sun lounger that they've put their towel on to own, and they're there, and the pneumatic drill's gone off. I must confess, I found it a wee bit hard to be sorry for them, because I'm thinking, well, life goes on, and people are allowed to build things next door. But you can see why they were maybe a bit miffed. They're expecting it all to be well. It's very easy to go through life thinking that life is all-inclusive, that everything in life you want to go well. Your job just has to be well, has to be good, good boss, good salary, meaningful employment. Your health should always be good. The tablet that will fix it, the advice, the gymnasium that will sort it all out. We don't say this, but we want life to be all-inclusive. We want it all to go well, even as Christians. I came across this thing here, if you can move on, Claire. It was a saying, God is the wind, faith is the sail, you're in the vessel, may you be blessed with smooth sailing. I'll keep that up there for a bit. You can look at that, try and get your head around that. God's the wind, faith is the sail that moves you along, and you're in the vessel. So may you be blessed with smooth sailing. That is what we want for life. We want Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to be smooth sailing. But you know that life is not always like that. It is anything but smooth sailing. Wednesday, a storm can arise and ruin your equilibrium. It can be messy. And in the passage we read of something that was anything but smooth sailing for Paul. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're looking at how the gospel was advancing during these early years of the early church. Paul has been on trial, 5 trials, and he's had a difficult time moving around on his 4 journeys. And now you see, if you could put the map up for us, Claire, you see him traveling through here. Even this is not smooth sailing. It is not easy. Now, I wondered about how to apply this. As I read this passage, I thought, wow, what is there to say about this? This is just about Paul going from A to B to C, and the wind and the storms, and then more storms and more wind. And I thought, what can you say about this? And then I took a step back, and it's this. When we're looking at what's happening to Paul, we're not to look at this just what's happening to one man who's a Christian. We're looking at this, the gospel as it spreads across this part of the world and how it doesn't spread easily. And that's what I want. I want to look at 2 things this morning. I want to look at, is gospel ministry plain sailing, running a church, preaching the good news, is that easy? Is it supposed to be all-inclusive, 5-star, shuffling along easy? And is the Christian life supposed to be all-inclusive and easy? So those are the 2 things that I want us to look at this morning. So first of all, let's look at this point here. Plain sailing in gospel ministry. If you've been a Christian for any length of time and been involved in the life of the church and doing youth work and children's work and even running a service, and you know that gospel ministry isn't easy. And that's what you see in this passage. You think if God, Jesus, has risen again, and you would think that he would make it go smoothly. But you think, if Jesus, you remember Jesus appeared to Paul a few chapters and says, you must, as you testified about me in Jerusalem, you have to testify about me in Rome. It was a plan of God that he testifies in Rome. Paul's not being disobedient. He's not just going on a holiday to Rome. He's taking the gospel under the command and direction of Jesus. And yet, look at what happens en route to this place. There are 26 verses that we read this morning, and there's at least 20 references to things going bad. It's just one verse after another. It's like one tsunami, another wave, and another wave. And you think, wow, why is it so difficult? Surely if he's already come through five trials, if it was me and it was my daughters, I might think, well, boy, you've had a really hard time. I'm just going to make the next bit smooth as silk, and you can paddle your way there, and you're in Rome, and then it might all kick off again. But at least the journey, when you've not got emperors bending your ear or opposition, I would make that smooth. But in the providence of God, the gospel ministry is never easy. There's always difficulty. Scan the verses. Look at the difficulties he faced. Verse 4, the winds were against us. Verse 7, we made slow headway for many days, had difficulty arriving. The wind did not allow us to hold our course. Verse 8, we moved along the sea with difficulty. Verse 9, much time had been lost. Verse 9 again, our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, to our own lives. Verse 14, a wind of hurricane force. Verse 15, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. We were driven along. Verse 17, afraid we would run aground. They let the ship be driven along. Verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm. They had to throw the cargo overboard. Verse 19, the ship's tackle. The sun and the stars don't appear for many days. The storm continued raging. They finally gave up hope of being saved. Quite a strange thing to say. Paul knew that they had to go to Rome. But this was incessant, day after day. No sun, no stars, and just rain and violent storms, and then they go a long time without food. Now, what I want to do just in these moments, in this first point, is really just to look at gospel ministry and to see that sometimes this is what it's like, especially even in small churches. So let's just pick out some of the things and apply it to ourselves. Verse 4. The winds were against us. They're sailing, they're taking the gospel to Rome, but the winds are against them. It wasn't easy. There are many hindrances in gospel ministry. People to help row the boat and to sail, skilled seamen, as it were, to come and to join and to say, you know, I can play the piano, I can do youth work or children's work, I can preach, I can teach, I can lead. When you're sailing the ship and you need more workers, who will come along and say, I want to sign up to serving in this place, to get on board this ship and to help wherever I can. The winds can sometimes be against us. There's maintenance to be needed in the ship as well. I must confess, I've been a pastor now of five churches, and I praise the Lord for the work of deacons who can deal very much with the bricks and mortar of the church. It's not something that excites me, but the heating, lighting, bricks, mortar, spring cleaning has to happen in some form, and unless we deal with these things, these can hinder us in gospel ministry. The winds, in whatever form, can come against us. Conflict, financial conflict, the devil being against us, personal circumstances that hinder us from being involved in gospel ministry. Winds can take the form in many ways. You can apply this. All of these things you can apply, I'm sure. As a result, verse 7, the wind did not allow us to hold our course. Sometimes you plan and you organize, well, we're going to do this. This would be a good thing to do. But things happen, and they hinder us from doing what we would like to do. We can all dream big dreams. I can dream big dreams as a pastor. I've been in churches where we've done many things, and I'd like to see many things here, but things are sometimes against us. People to row, people to serve, people to join us in that way. And we pray for that. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray for more laborers. So we can't always hold our course. We can't always go in the direction we would like to go. In verse 8, we move along the coast with difficulty. It's difficult being a member of a church, being involved in a church. It's not easy. We move sometimes with difficulty. We hear a couple of things in the churches there. I speak to other pastors. They would say similarly. It's not always easy to do what you want to do in ministry. As a result, progress can be slow. Look at verse 7. We made slow headway for many days. This can be very discouraging. Slow progress, blowing you off course. COVID, no one years ago would have seen that coming. Many churches have suffered as a result of COVID. The churches aren't the same. People have left. And they haven't returned for various, because they've maybe moved away. And so churches have really suffered. 2 years making slow progress during those 2 years of COVID. We are no different from other churches in this area. And the gospel, as a result, makes slow headway, verse 7, for many days. Much time, verse 9, has been lost. That's frustrating. I must confess, I like to see things moving faster, and maybe you're that type of person. Slow progress, much time has been lost. It's just to step back and look at verse 9, it's you think, here is the gospel going to Rome. Lord, can it not go faster and smoother? But in the providence of God, this is how he allows things to happen. Much time being lost. 2 years in our church due to COVID, and many churches are feeling this. Gospel ministry can be costly financially and personnel. Look at verse 10. Great loss to ship and cargo. We lost not ship, cargo, but people. And it can be difficult in that way. But the thing is, gospel ministry, church life, is costly. It is. Everything comes with a risk. When you get out of your bed on Monday morning, there'll be some risk to your life. Everything comes with risk. Paul says that there'll be great loss to the ship and cargo and our own lives as well. And yet, risk is unavoidable. Columbus wouldn't have discovered the New World, and David Livingstone wouldn't have discovered Central Africa. The Apollo space mission wouldn't have landed on the moon without some risk. The biggest achievements in life always involve risk. And therefore, church can be like that as well. If we are to make big strides for God, it will involve risk. Not foolish decisions, but saying, Lord, what are we to do? Great steps of faith. Lord, show us what we are to do. Great steps of faith. It should be risky. It should be scary. Remember, Jesus says to Peter, step out of the boat in the middle of a storm. And that requires bravery to be able to do this. Sometimes we can play it too safe. We do need judgment, because strong faith can easily be reckless faith. It can be difficult. Verse 14, 15, and 17. A wind of hurricane force, the ship caught by the storm, feeling you're going to run aground. You're not in control. Look at verse 15. You're carried along. COVID was like that. We would love to have done this, but we couldn't. We couldn't meet. We couldn't do the things we want. We were just carried along by things that were happening. It's a scary thing. If your life was like that and it was just being carried along, you're not in control. It's like hitting, it's like driving the car and hitting black ice. You're just carried along. You're not in control. The brakes, the steering, nothing works. You just hope that you come out of it okay. Being driven along is very scary. It's scary in gospel ministry. We're not in control. And it can last some time. Verse 20. Neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days. So much so that you finally give up all hope of being saved. All hope, Lord, is our church going to grow? Is mission going to happen? You can get to that point where you think, Lord, what can we do? What more can we do? We feel we're carried along. There's buffeting, there's winds, there's various things. We can't do what we would like to do. It can be very frustrating. This was must have been a scary, frustrating time for Paul at this time. Now, why is it so difficult? It's so difficult because of human responsibility. Sometimes we don't pray enough. Sometimes we put ourselves first and not the things of God. And it's left to a small handful of people. We lack faith. Paul, you almost get the impression here we gave up hope of being saved, and yet an angel comes and says, no, you will testify in Rome. You will get to Rome. But it can feel like that. Your faith begins to crumble. And you give up praying. You don't see the importance of this. Prayer meetings, midweek prayer meetings, sin. So sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. Secondly, it can be difficult because of God's power. In gospel ministry, God constantly wants to show us our need and dependence on Him. This is so very, very important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We tend to look at that just thinking it's to do with bread. Bread is a basic necessity of life. And you would think, well, at the very least you need bread. But God is saying that there's a more fundamental thing than even the most fundamental of things, and it is God's word. God's word is paramount to everything. And throughout life, He teaches us that He can be trusted, He can be loved, He has all power and all authority. And we spend our whole life learning that it's not about bricks and mortar and bread and just what we consider to be the essentials. There is another essential. It is God's word. It is fundamental and it is basic to gospel ministry. And Paul learned this in Ephesus. In his very real and despairing account in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. And then he says why this happened. Why is it so difficult? But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. That is something that God always wants to teach us as a church and as a Christian. You cannot do these things or anything of this nature yourself. Things happen, the difficulties happen, that we might rely on Him. Paul expands on this in 2 Corinthians 11, where he talks about his gospel ministry. He was in prison, he was flogged severely, being exposed to death 5 times. He received 40 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods, pelted with stones. 3 times he was shipwrecked, spent a night and day in the open sea, constantly on the move, in danger in the city, in the country, danger at sea, danger from false believers, labors, toils, gone without sleep, known hunger and thirst, gone without food, cold and naked. It just heaps us on daily. What conclusion does he come to? If I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. The reason for this, he expands in 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power might rest on me. Weakness is not a bad thing. Smallness is not a bad thing in gospel ministry. And the Lord wants to bring us to that point always. Sometimes when you come to an end of, when you became a Christian, that happened. And he sometimes does this, often does this, in Paul's ministry. The mighty apostle Paul had to be taught that. I have learned in all circumstances to be content. He has to learn this. We have to learn that sometimes it's we cannot do this in our strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. A church that's weak is ripe for the power of God. I don't know about you, but that causes me to throw my hat in the air and go, yes. Small churches need to hear this. And this is why. It's not easy. It reveals our weaknesses, but it shows us the power of God. And at such times, we need two things. We need faith. We need faith. We need faith. It says here in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, after he's talked about his strength being made perfect, God has delivered us from a deadly peril and will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Paul said, yeah, it's difficult, but God can deliver, has delivered, and will deliver as you help us by your prayers. So in other words, we keep the faith, trusting in God, we keep working, we keep serving, we keep believing, we keep trusting, and we keep praying. These are the basics of gospel ministry. Where we reject them, we get into all sorts of trouble. And we also need each other. I don't know if you remember as you read this, verse 3, Paul had friends, and he was allowed to go to the friends, and they met his needs. You need friends in gospel ministry. You need brothers and sisters. You cannot do this alone. You need to be united in this together. Where there's disunity, these things crumble. So therefore, Paul says, don't be afraid. Despite everything that they had come through on this journey, be courageous. Why? Because God had appeared and says, you must appear before Caesar. And God has been gracious to give you the lives of those who are with him. So keep courage, men. I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. So gospel ministry is never easy. We see this here. That's what this shows us. He didn't get a smooth path to Rome. We will not get a smooth path to the heavenly Jerusalem. It doesn't happen that way. It is a bumpy road. The winds will come in various forms. It will cause us to make slow progress, not allow us to move in the direction we would like to move. This is often the case in churches. Setbacks come, loss, this fear of giving up. What is the point? But weakness is not a barrier to the work. It's the power of God can reveal this to us. But we need faith and prayer and unity. Lastly, I want to apply this personally in the Christian life, because it's slightly different, but all of the above can apply to you just as a Christian now. Because how God works in our life in the church and gospel ministry is slightly different from what he does to us as people. There are difficulties, difficult progress. You could look at these verses and apply it to your Monday morning or Tuesday. The winds were against you. It doesn't allow you to hold course. You're moving along the coast of your life with great difficulty. You struggle to proceed. You feel like a victim. You're being driven along, carried along. If only I was more in control, Lord. I'd love to be able to do A, B, C, D, E, but I can only do A and D. The other things, I'd like to be able to steer this course, but it's too difficult. slow progress. For many days, the sun and the stars don't appear. The temperature isn't as warm as you would like it to be. Your life can be a struggle just to keep on course, making slow progress, personal suffering, having to get rid of things, great loss that you've maybe suffered. It could be the loss of a loved one, mammy, who the Lord takes to be with himself, family members. You suffer loss, a job, your health, something that happens. You're having to throw things overboard, and you finally could give up hope of being, of the situation changing, of being saved. Life is hard. The Christian life is easy. It's not all-inclusive, five-star, getting it just the way you want it. It's great to have the Lord as the wind and faith as the sails, and may you have a smooth sail. We all want that. But we live in the real world. It's not as easy as that. Now, why is the Christian life so difficult? It's difficult because it's God's will. The Christian life is not meant to be easy. It rains on the righteous and on the unrighteous. The same things that happen to people outside of being a Christian happens to you and I. The lot is cast into the lap, Proverbs 16, but its every decision is from the Lord. The Lord is sovereign over your life. He allows things to happen. He has a perfect will. He has a permissive will. He will allow things to happen to you to teach you that you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word. The promises of God is your necessary basic staple diet to grow, to trust him. He wants to grow us as Christians. Discipline. Hebrews 12. Have you forgotten, or have you completely forgotten, this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. There is discipline in the Christian life, and the Lord is molding us and shaping us. This is hard. We don't easily follow the Lord. It is hard to follow him. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. Consider it pure joy, James chapter 1, whenever you face trials of many kind. How many of us do that? Not just joy, but pure joy. I'm facing trials of every kind. Whoop-de-doo. Doesn't happen, does it? We walk about with a long face, we moan, complain, we kick the cat, we blame others. Life would be great if it wasn't for them, or if it wasn't for this situation, and we blame everybody. We don't consider it pure joy. We do not involve God in what God is doing. That what's happening is of God. He's allowed it to happen. He's teaching us. He's disciplining us. He's molding us and shaping us to be like Jesus. You don't suddenly become like Jesus when you're saved. That takes time. Your whole life is God knocking rough edges off you. That will happen perhaps through your workmates, through your boss, through your health. Various things that happen. Consider it pure joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here is another sailor quote here. A smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. You don't know if you're a sailor until you're put on the rough seas. That is why may the Lord give you smooth sailing. It's not going to happen, brothers and sisters. It doesn't happen. If you want to be a skilled sailor, you don't get it in a smooth sea. In my last church, I had a sailor, Derbyshire. When you live in Derbyshire, you cannot get further from the sea. Now, I don't think there's a place in the UK where you're further from the sea than Derbyshire. And this elder lived in a house. He called it the Anchorage. He always made me laugh. He couldn't have been further from the sea. Well, he used to sail on Ogston Reservoir. And one night, one summer's evening, it was a beautiful night, we went on. And for the first time, he took me out. I knew he sailed. And I thought, I'm looking forward to this. Problem was, it was in a valley. And at a certain time at night, the wind just drops. And for about an hour and a half, we just bobbed about on this water. It was the longest hour and a half of my life. We went no. If I went like that at the side, we would have went faster. And he kept saying, oh, John, the wind has died. I never got to see this guy's skills, pulling this, moving that, flipping this round and moving across and bobbing in the waves and turning. We just sat there. The water was too smooth. You want to know if you're a good sailor or a good Christian, you need rough seas. Rough seas will mold you and shape you and test you. And God does this through the decisions that we make. He doesn't turn us into robots. Sometimes we make bad mistakes, but these are used to mold us and to shape us to be better skilled sailors. But God is always in control of every detail of our life, the good and the bad. He does it for our good and for His glory. That's what it means, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. And He will always respond to our cries. Therefore, don't be afraid. Be encouraged. You must do this. The Lord has a plan for us. He's also given us many promises. Many promises. And although we have many promises, it doesn't mean going forward is going to be easy. Look at the last verse that we read. Paul says to them, keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. That's like hearing a sermon, isn't it? Saying the Lord loves you and cares for you. But look at verse 26. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. I'm sure they were looking forward to that, running aground. You imagine if you're on P&O Ferry, if they ever sail again, I don't know, and the ship captain tells you, oh, by the way, we're going to have to run aground. You're not going to think, oh, that sounds good. And this is what happens. We need to be prepared for, as we go through life, the Lord steering us, leading us, guiding us, but we have to run aground. There'll be many times when you will run aground. Here is a final quote. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The realist adjusts the sails. They plan for change. The wind has changed. They will adjust the sails. There's no point in complaining at the wind as a shoe. I don't like the wind, Lord. It's too cold. It's coming from Scotland. I'd rather have it from Morocco. Can you give us that kind of wind? I don't like the wind in my life. I don't like this. Or you just think, well, I'll just grin and bear it, and maybe it'll just happen. Or are we realistic and says, maybe I need to adjust the sails. Maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I need to serve more. Maybe I need to seek first the kingdom of God rather than my own things. Maybe I need to start adjusting the way that I think things through. And not complaining at the wind and what's happening, but being prepared to adjust the sails, to change. So what have we said? Here is a passage that's a strange passage. It's just all about difficulties. But difficulties not for Paul, but for the gospel. Plain sailing is never the case in gospel ministry. There are winds that are strong and scary and buffeting, things that would hinder us, difficult to steer in the way we want to go. We feel we're drifting along and we're not in control as much as we'd like. We're making slower progress than we would want, and we lose all hope of success. Life is hard. Nevertheless, we are to keep the faith. We are to keep praying. We are to keep trusting. We are to keep rowing. We are to keep working and serving on board the gospel ship as we work together. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. But plain sailing in the Christian life is not an option either. Life is difficult. God is molding us to be like Jesus. It involves discipline. It involves the exercise and test of our faith, the exercise of prayer. We need each other to do this. We need to support and encourage each other in gospel ministry and in living as a Christian. I pray the Lord has maybe spoken to you even in a small way, that you've taken something of that and think, I need this. That's been a challenge to serve the Lord. I'm watching others struggling. I want to throw my lot in with them. I want to join a church, whether it's this church or another church. But I want to use the gifts that the Lord has given me, not just to make money and to make myself comfortable, but I want to serve Him here or elsewhere. I've been drifting about, doing my thing, steering my course, and I've forgotten about the course of gospel ministry to help others. You want to be a better Christian. You want to trust. You want to recognize that the Lord is working in your life. It might be difficult, but He's molding you and shaping you. You want His strength to be made perfect in your weakness. You want to put Him first. May the Lord help us to do this. Let's sing together, He Will Hold Me Fast.